All right, good morning. Let's come to order and go on the record, please. I'm Charlotte Mitchell, Chair of the Utilities Commission, and with me this morning are Commissioners Brown, Bland, Gray, Claude Felter, Duffley, Hughes, and McKissick. In compliance with State Government Ethics Act, I remind members of the Commission of their duty to avoid conflicts of interest and inquire at this time as to whether any member of the Commission has a known conflict with respect to matters coming before us this morning. The record will reflect that no conflicts have been identified, so we'll proceed with Public Staff Communications, Item P1, Ms. Proffitt.
Good morning. Item P1 presents interconnection agreements and amendments filed by AT&T North Carolina and Windstream between June 3rd and June 7th, 2021. The public staff has reviewed the filings and recommends that orders be issued approving the agreements and amendments effective on the date they were filed. The public staff has provided proposed orders to the commission staff.
Move approval of the recommendation.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be approved as recommended by the public staff. Any questions or discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. Commissioner McKissick.
And this is more of an observation as much as anything else. I know, like, for example, with docket number P55 sub 1595, it refers to the fact that we are adding a new section to the agreement, and it's titled Partner Delivery Service Arrangement Insurance and Subcontractors. I went to the proposed order, and it does not have any language for Exhibit A, nor does any language exist elsewhere. So I was able to track down some, but it would be helpful moving forward if there is a reference like that to an Exhibit A, to either provide a concise explanation as to what it actually does, you know, in a, you know, concise, substantive way, or either provide a copy of it. Yes, on an observational note moving forward, it would be helpful. I mean, once I was able to review it, I don't have any concerns about it, but I guess wanted to make that as an observational note. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, any additional questions? All right, hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a vote. All in favor, indicate with an aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Proffitt. All right, we'll proceed now to Public Staff Electric, Item P1. Mr. Saylor.
I'm Scott Saylor with the Energy Division. Item P1 is an application for an amended and renewed certificate of public convenience and necessity for a solar PV electric generating facility. The public staff recommends that the commission approve the application and issue the amended and renewed certificate.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be approved as recommended by the public staff. Questions or discussion? All right, hearing none, I'll call the roll for a vote. Indicate your support with an aye and your opposition with a no. All in favor? Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Saylor. All right, we will proceed to Public Staff Water, Item P1.
Good morning. I'm Lynn Fiso with the Public Staff Accounting Division. Item P1 is docket number W-218 sub 526A. On April 28, 2021, Aqua North Carolina filed an application requesting authority to adjust its water system improvement charges and sewer system improvement charges effective July 1st, 2021. Aqua's waste and CISC percentages were reset to zero as of October 26, 2020, the effective date of Aqua's new base rate in its general rate case W-218 sub 526. This is Aqua's second filing to implement charges under the waste and CISC mechanisms since the sub 526 rate case. Aqua's proposed waste and CISC revenue requirement and percentages are listed in the agenda item. The public staff has reviewed Aqua's stated waste and CISC improvements, and based on this review, the public staff is recommending 9 adjustments to Aqua's proposed waste and CISC revenue requirement and percentages that are discussed in the agenda item. The public staff's recommended waste and CISC revenue requirement and percentages based on these adjustments are also reflected in the agenda item. It's the public staff's understanding that the company agrees with the public staff's recommended adjustments, except for the adjustment to remove 71,000 $150.93 of grinder pumps and the amount of the cost allotted for the Willow Creek lift station. A proposed order is attached as exhibit number P-1. The public staff recommends that the commission issue the proposed order approving the public staff's recommended water and sewer system improvement charges effective for service rendered on or after the date of this order, subject to up, allowing Aqua to retrospectively charge customers for the approved surcharges through the EMF calculation for the period July 1st, 2021 through the date of the commission's order and the requiring customer notice. If the commission has any questions regarding this item, Chuck Dunis and I are available. I believe representatives from the company are in attendance and intend to address the commission.
All right, thank you very much. The commission does have questions for both the company and the public staff. We'll start with the company. If you would send someone up this way, Ms. Sanford, I see you and Mr. Becker approaching.
Do we unmask to talk or?
Yeah, please go ahead and remove your mask. Just.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Joanne Sanford, Sanford Law Office representing Aqua North Carolina. Thank you for hearing us this morning. We are here with Mr. Becker and a number of other people from the company to be sure we have the right people in case you have questions on this item. We first of all want to thank the public staff for its attention over a pretty protracted period of time as the company and the public staff have worked to a resolution of most of the issues. We're here this morning. Let's see, can you hear me? Am I? We're here this morning for two disputes, two issues which have been identified this morning. The first has to do with Willow Creek. Is about a small amount of money, but is about an operational issue for which the company particularly, and I assume everybody, would like the commission's guidance. The other has to do with the grinder pump issue, which we know has been repeatedly presented in terms of filings with the commission and has been laid out. So with that, I have Mr. Becker, he has backup. We will be happy to answer any questions that the commission has. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sanford. Mr. Becker, we do have a number of questions for you on, or for the company on both grinder pumps and Willow Creek. I'm going to start with Willow Creek just because we have fewer questions there. With a supplemental response that the company provided to the public staff has now made an adjustment to remove AFUDC in the amount of just over $2,000. Does Aqua accept this adjustment? And if not, help us understand why.
So I'm going to call on Michael Melton, who is the engineer. He's our state engineer, and he'll be able to answer most of the questions regarding Willow Creek.
Okay. Good morning, sir. Please go ahead and introduce yourself for purposes of the record.
Good morning. I'm Michael A. Melton. I'm the engineering manager for Aqua North Carolina.
So I'll direct my question at you. With the supplemental response that the company provided to the public staff has now made an adjustment to remove AFUDC in the amount of just over $2,000. Does the company agree with this adjustment? If not, please help us understand why.
Yes, ma'am. We disagree with that.
Okay. Would you please expound on
your answer? Ma'am. Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. If I can explain, maybe in simplistic terms, the project itself, I think it was referenced as a lift station. This is an SSES study, a sewer system evaluation survey that we performed at the Willow Creek collection system. I had submitted as part of a data request 64, a graph that appears this. I don't know if you have this copy or not, that information or not, maybe not. It was in question one, data request 64. One of the things, and as I explained, when we evaluate a collection system, we look at something called the peaking factor, okay? And the peaking factor is the maximum daily flow divided by the average flow. And so when we see peaking factors north of 3, okay, it gives just an arithmetic calculation between the maximum divided by the average, we have concerns that there's either inflow or infiltration going on in the collection system. So we had looked at this data previously And we had seen peaking factors of well above 7 in this collection system at Willow Creek. We started the project in 2019. We had actually had a sewer system overflow from one of the manholes near a school that we serve there at Willow Creek. And so in looking at that and solving that issue, we realized that we needed to carry on with this system and look at the system as a whole, okay? We had asked for a proposal. We finally received it in January of 2020. We acted on that proposal, and they looked at 4 areas. The company that we hired was a company called Tri-State, and they did an SSES study, if you will, looking at 4 areas. They had identified, they had provided just multiple informations, like 2 reams, 3-inch reams of information on the collection system and videos that they supplied to us. And there was evidence that there were parts of the collection system that we needed to do point repairs. We had began looking at and trying to get bids for making these point repairs. Tri-State refused. They were the contractor that actually did the SSES study. And then the COVID outbreak took place in March. We were able to finally retain Burnett Enterprises, who went out later in the year to perform those point repairs. So we kept this project open with the intent of solving and fixing some of these point repairs. Since those repairs have been made, outstanding of a spike in the flow in 2021, there is a graph that I recently provided to public staff that pretty much shows the maximum and minimum. Here's this, the red is the maximum, but after that point in January, our flows remain very consistent. Evidence that we had solved most, if not all, of the issues with I&I. I stand here today and say that, you know, I can't say that 100% that we're not going to go back and fix a leak or do a point repair of something that might come up. But today, that's where we stand. And that's why we left the project open, if you will.
All right, thank you. That's helpful overview of the work that you all have undertaken. Help me understand, though, the company's position relative to the public staff's position. Just explain why you all still take issue with the position taken by the public staff.
Sure. And again, it's a legitimate position. I'm not here to say it's not a potential. You know, we had fixed one area, okay, in the collection system. We had a root ball that had grown into the collection system. That's what led to the SSO. We did find that there were some, we did a short video. We noticed that there was some misalignment in the pipe. And we were very strong in thinking that, yes, we need to continue this evaluation, right? So I think from the public staff, I don't want to speak for them on this, but I think that they viewed that as one point repair that should have been closed. In our minds, this was a whole project, a system-wide survey and evaluation, if you will.
Okay, thank you. Additional questions for the company on the Willard Creek issue? All right, I'd like to hear from the public staff in response to the company. And Mr. Becker, stay up here. Don't go anywhere in case.
Yes, Charles Junis, engineer with the Public Staff Water Division. I'm going to keep this very short and sweet. We have a footnote in the proposed order and the agenda item that lays out this schedule. You basically had a study or cleaning and videotaping in June of 2019. You then have a repair that was done in November of 19. That's what we're calling one project. Then they went back in different areas to investigate further concerns about I&I. So that investigation occurred in March of 2020, and the repairs were completed in December of 2020. We call that the second project. So that's kind of the delineation. When you group them all together, you lead to this accrual of AFUDC, which is additional cost to customers, which we felt was unnecessary and excessive. And I will add, Mr. Melton referred to that 2021 graph of flows. You'll see a spike in February of 2021. So I can make the argument under their logic that this continues to be a problem, and they will continue to look at it. Now, it looks like it's settled down, but you don't know what factors went into that, of why that peak in February has gone down. So I think that's a little bit flawed logic to say it continues to be a problem, because you could stretch out a lot of projects under that logic. I think from a responsibility and proper management, it should be two projects and to limit costs to customers. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Junis. Before Mr. Junis sits down, questions for Mr. Junis, public staff? All right, Mr. Becker, care to respond to Mr. Junis?
I do, thank you. This is Shannon Becker, president of Rockwood, North Carolina. I guess in summary of this, you can look at almost any project and break it down into a piece and say, we should have capitalized that at that time, we should have capitalized that at that time. The challenge that we have is, you know, we're working under fluid operational conditions, and we have over 20,000 activity numbers that track capital at any point in time every year. The engineering team is managing over 100 active projects at any point in time. While we're in the field, we make decisions, and again, you know, just like a service line project, after each service line is put into back into service, which is done, you know, within an hour, or quoted on the amount of time, but within a short amount of time, that service line is done, but it's still part of a bigger project. So technically we could capitalize that, but we're looking at operational efficiency and the ability to be able to manage effectively without inundating the tracking and the reporting and the recording of it. We made an operational decision in the field. In hindsight, when we look back on it, can we make different decisions, or we wish we would have? Sure. But there's a fluidity to operating and making a decision on the fly when they say that something's going to be delayed, or this is the start of something that's going to be the front end of a project. We make decisions that say, hey, you know what, we're going to make this a larger project and not just capitalize this at any point in time. And I'll also say that if that were the case, where we would have capitalized the first part of that 2019 study, we would have had it in a WISC filing, the last filing. We would have already been recovering on that. So while AFUDC is getting charged to that project during that delay, we would have already been collecting on that project 6 months ago, which would have been higher rates earlier. And that's all I'd like to say. Thank you for the opportunity to respond.
All right, thank you, Mr. Becker. Questions for Mr. Becker? All right, Commissioner Hughes.
I think you said this, but could you just restate it again, the process and the actually individual or team that actually makes these decisions on the operational side? I'm assuming it's not the accountants, it's the engineers or the so, and how does that process go? Is it a software driven issue? Is it a, you know, just experience, engineers experience, or could you just say a little bit more about how that's done?
Sure, Commissioner. We have management team. Some projects are managed by area managers, some are managed by supervisors, and some of the larger projects that require planning and permitting require our engineering team to be involved. And then we use a team of consultants or contractors, engineering contractors, to help carry out a lot of the work because the volume is significant. We are coordinated with our accounting team to be able to track when a project is completed and in service. To try to unitize things when they are placed in service. We just made an improvement as a result of our last rate case to better manage that. But most of these decisions are made by the individuals in the field, the project manager. We'll assign a informal title, project manager, to the individual managing that project. And they are making the calls based on the information that is available to them. They and potentially their supervisor, depending on the size of the project. You know, this is a longer project, this Willow Creek one. So it did require multiple hands, including accounting, the engineering team, the operations team, to be able to make sure that we are effectively managing and doing what we need to do in the field to address the SSOs, the sanitary service overflows. So it's a little bit of a manual project. Our back end accounting is very computer oriented, but the decision making in the field in monitoring and seeing what's going on, whether to extend it into a new area, you have to complete the things, take a look at the results, do something a little different. And we're likely not likelier in our typical to try to be efficient. We're not likely to try to close each piece of that separately. That would be thought of as a larger project.
All right, commission has questions for the company and for the public staff as well on the grinder pumps. So, Mr. Becker, I'll direct those at you. I don't know if you're going to need to call up some assistance, but all right, I'll just go ahead and fire away. For the 24 grinder pumps at issue in the instant proceeding, is Aqua replacing original grinder pumps located at or near a customer's residence that were installed by the homeowner or the home builder?
I don't know if their original equipment that was initially installed, it may have been replaced at some period in the past, but they typically are near a homeowner's premise. They are the ones that we have requested recovery for are part of a pressurized system, not a gravity system. And I would say the difference between those two is the gravity system. You're going to have a grinder pump in your home to be able to push the sewage up the hill to connect into the master system. Whereas a pressurized system, we consider it to be the grinder pump to be part of the total pressurized system. We don't want a lot of gaps. You need to maintain pressure in the system, and a grinder pump is part of that system. I also have Joe Pierce here, who has helped us respond to many of these questions, was probably the primary contact in working with the public staff in the data requests.
Okay.
So if we have additional questions that are more technical in order, sure.
Okay. And I see him proceeding to the microphone as we speak. All right, gentlemen, does the homeowner retain ownership of the grinder pump that was paid for by the homeowner or home builder until it's replaced by Aqua?
No. When we took over the asset, that grinder pump became Aqua's grinder. We replace that grinder pump is Aqua's.
And that's the case.
Sorry, I'm Joe Pierce, Director of Operations for Aqua, 25 years in the business. If you ever met me before.
All right. Thank you, sir. So these 24 grinder pumps are company assets.
Correct.
Okay.
We own all the grinder pump station systems that we operate.
Okay. All right. Just so the record is clear, the 24 pumps to be replaced. The existing pumps were Aqua's pumps. Okay. Okay. And I assume, but correct me if I'm wrong, that all 24 of these pumps are on the same system?
No. They're on a variety of systems. If I'm going a little bit of detail, there's actually 11 E1 pumps that I think most of those went into Sterling Farm from Bryce Creek. I haven't got them all memorized, so I can't show off that way. But we've got 11 E1s, we've got 11 ABS, a lot of those go to the Governor's Club. We've got one Myers and one King. They have varying horsepowers. One horsepower, so the small E1s at the coast. We have larger horsepower, 2, 2.5, 3.7, even some 6.7 horsepower pumps. They're not all the same. They are sized to fit the system, depending on where you're located. So if you're at the end of the system, you may have a higher horsepower pump. Ensure we have flushing velocity. So it's designed as an integral system of pumps. The one pump down can cause a failure of the pumping system, won't reach shower velocity.
All right, just following up on something you just said. So the pumps are designed relative to the system, not to a residential unit.
Correct.
Okay. According to Aqua's current grinder pump installation fee tariff that's applicable to the Governor's Club, once the grinder pump is initially installed, it becomes the responsibility of the company to maintain, repair, and replace the grinder pump. Is this the case with respect to the grinder pumps? Is this the case with all grinder pumps that are connected to Aqua systems?
On the ones that we own and operate, there are some that are questionable as far as who actually owns them. We do not operate those that we do not own. There are some that the HOA was supposed to have handled the grinder pumps. We don't have access. We don't have the easements for them. We do not operate those. We don't know, we don't operate and maintain.
Understood. Thank you. Again, for the 24 in question here, those are pumps that Aqua owns though, correct?
To the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
That would be our standard practice.
Okay. In Aqua's response to the public staff's reply comments, which the company filed on June 28th in 218 sub 526A, Aqua stated that the grinder pump stations at issue, which are integral part of alternative pressurized sewer systems that are permitted by the DEQ, and they're necessary to the proper operation of the collection system. Footnote 5 to this sentence states that, as noted on pages 21 through 22 of the company's May 7th, 2021 verified response, their grinder pumps, which are used for the sole benefit of individual customers. These grinder pump systems are for a single facility that include a pressurized drain connecting to a utility-owned gravity sewer. These are permitted under the plumbing code and not under DEQ permitting authority. The grinder pumps installed for the sole benefit of a customer are not part of any Aqua-owned sewer collection system, and the company does not own, operate, and maintain grinder pump stations installed for the benefit of a single customer. You've already touched on this in your responses to my questions, but just so we're clear, explain the difference between the two categories or the two types of grinder pumps one more time.
So one type, which is the benefit of a single homeowner.
Excuse me, just a minute. Mr. Pierce, yes. For the benefit of our listening audience, including our staff who's trying to follow this, they're requesting you step closer to the mic.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm normally too loud. Please, thank you, Commissioner. The plumbing code ones are for the individual homeowners. Those are ones where they've put a house in and that individual house will not reach a gravity sewer in the area. So they will put in a grinder station permitted under the plumbing code. Aqua does not own those. It's handled as an individual homeowner item. And it's handled through the plumbing code. It is not permitted by the state with an individual permit either. So those are homeowner responsibility, covered for the individual homeowner's benefit. We're not involved in the design of those. That's the plumbing inspector's business to watch that portion of it. As opposed to, I think that was one part of the question. The second part is the ones that are combined, the low pressurized, the pressurized sewer systems. Those are permitted by the state. Those plans are reviewed by the state to ensure we maintain that flushing velocities are designed for it. Aqua, the company, is held responsible for those systems operating, whether they back up in the home or they cause a sewer spill. The utility is responsible for it. The ones that we own. That answers the question.
It does. Back to the Governor's Club subdivision briefly. Which type or category of grinder pump is located at the Governor's Club?
I believe most of those are ABS.
Which means those are.
Oh, those are pressurized sewers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pressurized sewers in Governor's Club. And I'll add one other tidbit. That's one of our largest grinder. We have one station there, one house, one area actually has a 10 horsepower grinder on it. I said 10 horsepower, I'm not sure how many in a pump station. That's big for a normal pump station. Because of elevations and maintaining flushing velocities in the entire system, it requires much larger. The 10 horsepower is not this following.
Okay. For the grinder pumps at issue in this proceeding, the 24 grinder pumps, are they referenced in the respective DEQ permits that have been issued for those systems?
For the collection systems, yes.
Okay, so they would be considered the grinder pumps would be considered an integral part of the pressurized sewer system for the DEQ permit?
Correct.
Okay. In docket number W218 sub 475, which was a contiguous notification filing by Aqua for the Hazen Tree phase 4C subdivision in Wake County, the developer agreement that was filed with that filing defines wastewater utility system assets to exclude grinder pump stations. So we interpret this to mean that there are circumstances in which grinder pumps are not part of the wastewater utility system assets. Again, you've already explained some of that, but just can you remark about the specifics of the Hazen Tree situation?
So I don't know the Hazen Tree situation specifically, but I'll speak more generically.
Okay, please do.
The developer and the and through the HOA develop alternative management program. It's not required to be a utility to operate those pressurized systems. They'll allow an HOA, homeowner association, to operate those. But in that case, the state would permit those that way. Or the other option is that they're actually discharging to a gravity sewer and they handle those individual systems and not permitted to the state. So it's not required that there be a public utility to operate those grinder systems.
You may go ahead.
So could you just physically describe what that would be? Would there be two separate, there'd be a small part of the system that is HOA owned and it connects to?
To an aqua owned sewer.
Okay, so they're both pressurized. It's just you have a boundary.
Correct.
Somewhere that's distinguished between the HOA.
And aqua owned lines.
Okay, is that a common?
Is it common? We have one that I'm aware of that we don't own, the discharge to our gravity sewer for the community owned HOA.
And
it's not terribly common.
But is it, do you have pressurized to pressurized? Or is it always pressurized to gravity?
I'm more of pressurized to gravity.
Yeah, that was,
otherwise you've got issues with trying to keep the two systems operable.
Yeah, I had a headache trying to imagine that. So you don't have pressurized.
I would actually be worried about operating one that has two different groups maintaining the pressure in the system.
Okay. So the ones that you don't operate, somewhere along you think you can tie to a gravity system. That's what I understand.
Just checking in with Kim Mitchell to make sure you got that last question and answer. Okay, thank you. All right, one last question for the company here, and then I'll pause and see if my colleagues have any questions. But the 24 grinder pumps at issue here, are they the same or similar type of grinder pump replacements that the company included in its October 2020 CISC filing that the company ultimately withdrew?
I believe they are.
Okay.
Grinders are, yes, I'm 99% sure they are, though. Cannot guarantee it.
Okay. All right.
But our grinder program has not changed in that time period.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. A few questions for the public staff. Mr. Becker, Mr. Pierce, hang on. All right, Mr. Junis, one more time for the record.
Charles Junis, engineer with the Public Staff Water Division.
All right, Mr. Junis, I assume you're familiar with the 2T rules?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. 2T0300 addresses sewer system extensions. 2T0302A6 defines pressure sewer system as an interdependent system of grinder pump stations, typically for residences serving individual wastewater connections for single buildings that share a pressure pipe with a diameter of 1.5 inches through 6 inches. Duplex or greater pump stations connected to a common pressure pipe that can operate both independently and simultaneously with other pump stations while maintaining operation of the system within the operating constraints shall be excluded from the definition of pressure sewer system. Do you know whether the 24 pumps at issue fall within the definition of 2T0302A6?
Within the exclusion or, I'm sorry, because that was a lot you just threw at me.
Well, and it is, and I apologize for that. So do the 24 pumps at issue, would they be excluded from the definition of pressure sewer system?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. After hearing the company's responses today, does the public staff have anything else it would like for us to know or be aware of?
So I will say it's been my experience, and none of these replaced pumps has there been a system issue caused by that short-term outage. These are as needed replacements. So you can't, the SIC is intended to accelerate projects and also to eliminate regulatory lag. This is not a project that you can accelerate. This is a project that you have to do no matter what. And I think we need to parse out that the financial regulatory is separate from to some degree from the environmental regulatory, and they want to kind of rest on The permit includes these. And yes, it's part of a system, but they do not dispute that the primary purpose of these individual grinder pumps are to serve that individual premise. When one pump goes out, typically, and I will say for, to my knowledge, on all 24 of these, there was not a system issue. There was an outage for that individual premise. That needs addressed immediately. That's an emergency repair and replacement. A lot of times they might even throw in a used pump temporarily and then come back and replace it with a new pump or leave that used pump in there. So I really want to emphasize that not everything is eligible for accelerated rate recovery. And it's our position that grinder pumps would fall in that category as not eligible because it's not being accelerated. It's a relatively small individual cost. I think, you know, a lot of this has been addressed in sort of the back and forth in our comments. So I don't want to keep going on and on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Junis. Questions for Mr. Junis from the commissioners? Commissioner Klatfelter.
If the company just let the pumps continue to operate, maybe even shut down, would it be the public staff's position that the company would then be providing safe, reliable, and efficient service?
No, that would not.
Right.
It's a necessary improvement. A lot of times when these pumps malfunction, there is no service, and you have a very small storage tank within these grinder pumps, and then you could potentially have a backup. And that's why I say it's an as needed repair. They're not systematically or on a planned basis replacing grinder pumps. It's failure, go out, see what the alarm is, and make the fix. It could be a control panel, it could be the pump, it could be just a blockage that it's basically pulled, blockage removed, and put back in.
If they don't replace them, though, they're not providing safe, reliable, and efficient service.
That's correct.
And these are pumps?
Yes, sir.
And they're replacements?
Yes, sir.
And they're replacements for customers?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Commissioner McKissick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Junis. Well, let me ask this. If one of these pumps goes out, from what I gather from your testimony, it's your contention that it does not impact the total system. It only impacts that individual household. Is that correct?
Primarily, the impact is to that individual premise. It would take typically, because of factors of safety, multiple of these to fail to then have a system-wide failure because you're maintaining pressure with all of the grinder pumps.
And have you individually examined the pumps used in the situation that we have before us, these 24 grinder pumps, and reached a conclusion that if any one of these failed, it would not result in any system-wide problems?
To my knowledge, no system-wide impacts were incurred based on these outages or repairs or replacements.
And are you aware of any other engineer who has reviewed these individuals? Sorry. Are you aware of any other engineer who has done a similar assessment and provided information to the public staff as it relates to these 24 individual grinder pumps?
Besides the Aqua's engineers that worked on this, not to my knowledge, I worked on this. I think this issue has maybe popped up with Carolina Water, so perhaps Ms. Castleberry or Ms. Darden have also addressed this, but typically that's a team effort in how we.
And the information that was provided by Aqua's engineers, did it state that there were system-wide problems that would have resulted from these 24 pumps?
There was no evidence provided that system-wide issues were experienced. Theoretically, it was said that there could be system-wide issues, but there were not actually experienced system-wide issues from these outages, to my knowledge.
And were these 24 pumps, to your knowledge, in a concentrated area, or were they throughout Aqua's system?
This was on multiple different systems. And that's why in our comments, I pointed to my experience in installing one of these systems and observing that construction and some of the initial hiccups. You had multiple pumps out on a system of, I think it was about maybe 1,000. I don't recall off the top of my head, but you could have 10 that were malfunctioning in it during a given evening or during the day when people were initially getting used to what can you actually put down your sewer. And then just initial hiccups with the equipment after installation. And so we still didn't have system-wide issues at that level of saturation. So an individual granite pump on an individual system, you're just not going to have system-wide issues.
Okay, and I gather that basically the homeowner or owner of the unit that needs the grinder pump has to pay the initial $3,500 to have it installed, or approximately that. Is that correct?
Depends on the developer contract.
I see.
And depends on the subdivision. I do know, you know, there's been a number of systems brought up this morning. This has been a point of dispute between Aqua and some of these developments and DEQ. I don't recall where that dispute is at, but this has been an issue of who's going to maintain, who's going to address these, and who's going to pay for it.
And I guess my next question goes to that. Once that cost is paid for and those grinder pumps are installed, at that point in time, do they become the responsibility of Aqua to maintain going forward? When is that transfer? When does that occur?
Again, depends on the
system.
System, but to my knowledge, for these 24, is Aqua owns these and is responsible.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hughes.
Mr. Gish, you may be able to answer this. It might be that it goes back to Aqua, but are grinder pumps typically something that, from the focus on cost to repair, that tend to be in the long term from a life cycle cost standpoint cheaper to quote run to fail? Or does it make cost sense to kind of go through the process of tracking each one, figuring out when to, you know, when's the ideal and optimum time to repair before it actually fails? Does that question make sense?
Yep, absolutely makes sense. It's been my experience, and evidence has shown that run to fail is the most efficient. There are now, depending on the level of monitoring and basically controls you have, you can watch sort of the electrical load on some of these. There are some indicators that you could start to predict failures, but that's still being worked out and sort of studied. And so at this point is still most efficient run to fail. Because it's unpredictable. It can be misuse. It can be just electrical failure. I mean, these are hardworking grinder pumps. The worst of the worst they face. I mean, I have seen the inside of some of these tanks, and you would be surprised what people will flush down their toilet. I don't even know how it got down into the sewer. So it's unpredictable and best to run to fail, because it could last a year, it could last 10 years, depending on how it's cared for and the quality of craftsmanship.
Of gross follow-ups, but
I was waiting for that, actually.
The chair is quite concerned, right, about my curiosity.
Right.
Well, I don't know if there's been some comments that probably reflect Aqua operating procedures, so I don't know if it's fair to give them a chance to responder.
Well, what I would like to do at this point is I'd like for Chuck, Mr. Junis, take your mask off. I want a closing argument from you on the public staff's position here, and then we'll take one from the company and anything that you need to say in response to Mr. Junis's most recent comments you can include in your closing statement.
All All right, so was not prepared for closing arguments. I feel like I should have just taken one more day of vacation and avoided this and let somebody else deal with it. But
you've learned the hard way.
What I will say is there, the Wiskansic is certainly being utilized by Aqua. There are constraints here on what is eligible and not eligible. And then I think there's room for interpretation of what is most appropriate for both company practices and then for the financial impact to customers. And in this case, this is an as needed repair. And I think that's important because you can't delay this. This is something that in the middle of the night, somebody's got to go out and make this repair because it can result in significant impacts, especially to, and most directly to, that individual premise that is served by that grinder pump station. And I've seen it. It results in sewage backups. You'll have stuff all over the carpet, your furniture. It is a huge impact and it has to be done immediately. So there is no delay to wait to repair and replace it and put it into the next rate case. It has to happen now. And I think that is very important. I understand the arguments about these are systems, but there is no dispute that the primary purpose of these is to serve that individual premise. The Wiskansic is intended for sewer system improvements. And so this is a scatter shop. I don't recall how many systems, but you have 24 pumps across multiple different systems being addressed in this Wiskansic. And then last go around, you had a different set. So it's kind of all over the place. So I'll rest on that. It's up. This is obviously the commission's decision. We respect that. But we're trying to look out for customers and their best interests and afraid of, if you allow this, what else will be included in the West State?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Junis. All right, Mr. Becker.
Shannon Becker, President for Aqua North Carolina. I don't think I've ever presented final closing arguments ever as well. You have an accountant and an engineer doing this. This is a first for me. So thank you for the opportunity. You know, Mr. Junis is right. The primary, this is an immediate need. When something goes down, running it to fail, we determine this to be the most prudent way to be able to use our capital that ends up in the customer's rates. We don't want to go out and change 200-300 grinder pumps at one time in one community because, again, as Mr. Junis mentioned, it could be 1 year, it could be 10 years. And we don't want to change something out prematurely that doesn't need to be changed out. One of the things that Mr. Junis had said earlier was the intent of the Wiskansic is to accelerate capital that we may not otherwise spend. I don't know if he said it exactly that way. But in our June 28th filing, under the verified response to reply comments of the public staff and notice of public staff's plan to present comments and recommendations at the Commission's July 6, 2021 regular staff conference, I'm looking at least on my page 4 here, other reference points I can use, but we mentioned specifically here, counter to the intent, the Wiskansic tools intent to accelerate capital investment. It is not only that intent. That was one of the, there's ORs, right? That is one of the intents of the legislation. But additionally, it also states grinder pump replacements are SIC eligible improvements under General Statute 62-133.12 because they are necessary for Aqua, and now in quotes, to implement solutions to wastewater problems and to comply with state and federal law and regulations. In addition, there, and that is on Aqua Sub 363 rate case order at page 76 is where that was stated. In addition, they are necessary for Aqua, in quotes, to provide safe, reliable, and efficient service in accordance with applicable effluent standards, as Commissioner Klodfelter had referenced. And that is our intent. We cannot wait to fix these. We must fix them. But they also meet the intent of the Wiskansic tool to allow us to do this type of work, to provide us recovery, reduce lag, on this type of investment, which allows us to provide and maintain safe and reliable service and maintain our regulatory requirements, environmental regulatory requirements. So just in closing, as Mr. Junis also said, that the customer is the primary beneficiary here. All of our customers benefit from all of our assets in these systems, whether it's the collection system or a grinder pump. In this case here, we make the argument that a pressurized system is part of the greater good. It's part of the larger system. Can we handle one going out? Yes, for a period of time, right? I don't know what the number is of how many have to go out on what size system and what size horsepower, but we're trying to maintain the integrity of the system that does benefit all of our customers, not just an individual customer.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Becker. And thank you, Mr. Junis.
Madam Chair, I move this matter to executive conference for further consideration.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be considered an executive conference. All in favor indicate with an aye. Any opposed? All right, we will take the matter up in executive session. All right, the commission has before it its minutes of August 2nd staff conference for approval. All right, any questions, discussion on our on the motion? All right, all in favor indicate with an aye. Anyone opposed? All right, minutes of August 2nd, 2021 are approved. All right, any additional business for commission this morning? All right, hearing none, we will be adjourned. Thank you very much.